This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Stop shuffling through life like a zombie. You're bumming everybody out. Grab a CardoMax Energy Intensifier and wake up. Owned and operated by former Navy SEAL Sean Mattson, CardoMax's Energy Intensifier will help you power through your workouts and dead afternoons with vitamins B3, B6, B12, caffeine, and BCAAs. Use the promo code DB to get 30% off your next four orders at CardoMax.com. That's CardoMax.com, helping you achieve
Welcome
your max.
Welcome to Drinking Bros Podcast, kids. One of our favorite podcasts is Flagrant 2.
Hey, thank
with,
you, man.
With Schultzy and Akash. And here we go. Akash is in the studio when today.
Is it
Akash or Akash?
Akash.
Akash.
Akash,
Akash,
yeah.
I fuck up everybody's name on this show.
Yeah.
Every single time. So there was no prayer of me getting that right.
Yeah, it was closer than I thought. But I grew up in Texas, so it was always Akash. And I just didn't correct anybody because I was like nervous as a kid or whatever. And I also don't care. Unless you're Indian and you pronounce it incorrectly. And then I'll be like, you know better.
Yeah, you know better.
Because if you don't know, you don't know. I'm going to be mad at you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be like, all like, this is how you say it. I don't give a fuck how you say it. I want my people to say my name correctly.
Yeah.
People that would know, right?
Yeah, and they like, if they soften, like, it's Akash with like a really strong K. But if they're like, Akash, I'm like, this is embarrassing for you. You need to fix that shit.
Yeah, stop doing that.
But I didn't even notice until you asked.
Because you're a white.
Okay, good. Well, I'm a white.
Yeah.
And that's what happens.
Just like, try your best.
That's all we do. And I'll get those. Somebody will give me a participation trophy after this.
Yeah.
Because I'm a white and that's what happens.
Hey, dude. Y'all need some credit as white dudes.
It's a little bit. It's getting hard. I mean, look, Hollywood, we've got a ton of friends in Hollywood who are like, yo, dude, I can't get a fucking job as a white now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, for real?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, big stars.
Start a podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The only thing that bothers me about it, or not the only thing, the thing that bothers me, I want people to just be consistent. That's my big thing. I think I'm a pretty moderate dude, be consistent. And I would hear my friends of color complaining about how they didn't get any opportunities. And now they're getting kind of like disproportionate opportunities if you're like Indian and you're 1% of the population and you're getting all these roles. But instead of being like, yo, that's fucked up, all we said all along was, which is what they said, we just want the best person to get the role. Now they're looking at white dudes like, oh, I'm sorry, is it hard for you now? And it's like, yo, you just become the white man.
Yes.
Yeah. Like whatever white man you hated, you became that guy.
Yeah.
So just because I want the best person to get the role. The person you think is the best, just give it to him. That's it.
In all forms of life, whatever job you're doing.
Meritocracy.
I don't give a fuck about race.
As close as we can get to a meritocracy, let's do that.
Performance. Yes. Just performance. I 100%. Don't give a shit what race you are. I don't care who you're fucking. My wife always says the same thing on our other show. She's like, dude.
There is a staggering amount of whiteness in here, though.
Yeah. Well, no. We got a Mexican.
These two are halvesies.
You're halves.
Yeah, we got a couple Mexicans.
So combined, we have one full Mexican.
Yeah. I would say 1 3/4 Mexican all the way around. Yeah.
Well, you have to cut them in half and count the rings to get the exact amount.
And then two people who look like they were at the insurrection. Like, I think that's the right amount. And then, like,
100%. You got a good
fraternity
balance.
Guy, you know?
You got a balance.
You feel like this is a safe space. There's enough color in here where you're like, all right.
Well, luckily we're beyond September through like November of 2001, where white people in America couldn't tell the difference between Saudi Arabians and Indians, right?
That was an interesting time.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm sure even on 9/11, you're scared to travel where you're like, man.
I watched a documentary on Al-Qaeda and world geography like 3 years before. And so when 9/11 happened, I was sitting in class and we're all fucking horrified and everything. And then it clicked with me. I was like, oh shit, it was probably that Bin Laden guy. I remember watching the documentary. He bombed the World Trade Center before. Nobody else had really thought. From what I had known, even the media hadn't gotten there quite yet. They were close.
Mm-hmm.
But in that moment, I was like, oh fuck. this is about to get bad for me. Because I grew up in Frisco. Are you guys Texans?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah,
a suburb of Dallas. Now it's like a bustling suburb.
Beautiful, yeah. And the prices there are as high as Austin
right
now.
It's where the star
is,
crazy.
Man. Yeah, it's where the star is. Mm-hmm. I went there before all that shit was built, and I was like on the very front end of everybody moving in. So it was still like there was a Future Farmers Association, and like there was one other Indian kid in my school, and he's Pakistani. He was close enough.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, they're not going to fucking know the difference, dude. This is going to be rough.
Yeah.
And it wasn't awful, but you definitely got, you know, you definitely got your shit. It wasn't like I was scared for my safety, but you definitely got, you know, some your little bullying shit here and there.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of 9/11 shit where it's just like, hey, dude, what's in the backpack?
Right.
Especially as a kid.
Two kids walked me down the hallway and they were like, we got him. With the hand behind my back. It was actually, it was two Mexicans, to be honest. And I was impressed that they figured it out before anybody. I had thought about it. And then at lunch, like an hour later, these two Mexican dudes were like, we got him. Don't worry. And I was like, yeah, how the fuck do y'all know? CNN don't even know yet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's the bit, though. Yeah. Like, and they were ahead of the bit. Which is nice.
Dude.
Yeah.
They knew.
I remember I told this story before, but I was in Los Angeles and went to go see the Fast and Furious movie opening night.
Yeah.
And it was at the new Universal City, their beautiful theater and everything else. Took a date. I walked in and I sat down. There was a black couple next to me and we sat down next to them.
Yeah.
The entire theater was Latino. And I looked at the black dude and I go, oh shit. That's what it feels like, huh? And he goes, yeah, it does. You're welcome. And he goes, weird, right? And he goes, they could turn on us in any second. And I go, fuck. And he goes, that's the way we think about you too. You know? And I was like, I bet. Shit.
It's an eye-opening moment, right?
It was, but nothing happened. And then, you know, I realized Vin Diesel actually really does bring everybody together and make them feel like family.
Dude. That's the new president, I think. Vin Diesel.
Fuck, dude.
I'm better than The Rock, for sure. Like The Rock's going to try to get involved in our day-to-day life. Like, oh, you guys should be eating right and working. I'm like, no, I'm going to keep doing drugs and drinking, The Rock. All right? Mind your fucking business.
You already in shape, though. You look great, buddy.
I haven't worked out since November of 2018.
Well, if something's going on.
He's dialed.
I want to try that.
Yeah. So he's dialed into all the steroids.
I take
like every drug.
And a drug called Sirmorelin, which just makes your body produce natural HGH. That's it. That's all I take.
Can I do that?
Yeah, relatively cheap, too.
Yeah, it is. It's actually really fucking cheap. Yeah. I just started because of him, and I was just like, all right, cool,
how's it
man.
Working for you?
Just started. Okay. So I'm only a couple weeks into the Samoan, and we'll see.
I've got to chart your progress, and I'm going to see what's going on.
Yeah. And I'll text you daily.
Yeah, please do. You know? I wish somebody gave me some growth hormone when I was 14. Fucking 5'7 over here. Yeah. What's going on?
Is it a true 5'7, though?
It's
or
a true
5'7.
Six and a half. I got caught lying about my height in college, and I was like, well, I can't do that ever again. That was embarrassing.
So it's only like people that are 5'10. And then people that are like 5'5 that lie about their height.
Yeah, I think so. 5'7 is like you're still short, but it's not unacceptably short.
No, you're barely below average.
5'6 is weirdly a lie. There's a big difference between 5'6 and 5'7.
You know what's weird though? I will say this, like, because Schultz is your dude on your show. Like, we're probably around the same height, I would imagine. Yeah, I'm 6'3. I'm close to 6'4.
Right.
When you're shooting a Hollywood movie, you look, I mean, I might be a little tall. Who knows?
Right.
That's just God, though, blessing me every single day. And I can't, know, whoever you believe in, through Christ, anything is possible.
Well, you've got quite a few more options than just Jesus, though, in your culture. Right?
Yeah, you do.
Believe in Jesus, too. It's all valid.
It's like the buffet of religions. You know what I mean? You show up, you don't know what you want that day. But it's actually a good analog for humanity. And, like, you don't know what you're going to need that day either. Maybe this whole God thing is just a mirror.
You never know.
Somebody explained it to me. Like, whatever gets you to the top of the mountain, whatever God it is, as long as you get there, great. Yeah. Whoever it is, great.
I don't give a shit either.
Yeah.
Believe in whatever the fuck you want to believe in. Like, I don't really care. Yeah. If there was, like, if I had Caitlyn Jenner's dick in a not like a mayonnaise jar, but like a pickle jar.
Right.
Just with some formaldehyde around it and everything else. I'd pray to that. Like, I believe. I just watched that doc, dude, with the Bruce Jenner one.
There's nothing I want to watch less than anything Kardashian related.
So here's the thing. It was all about his decathlon in the 70s.
Oh, fire.
So I was like, oh, shit, dude, let's go. I didn't know how great he was.
The dick clearly has magical properties. So with dick, you know, Olympian.
Yep.
Gold medalist and fucked into the Kardashian family, which you know was kind of annoying, but made him a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then post dick removal, failed governor run.
Yeah.
So it's like The results are in, folks. That dick is magic.
And when you watch this doc, because he's looking back at his life as Caitlyn now, and he's talking in this fake voice and everything else. Because I don't know if that's part of a bit, too, where it was just like, my wife saw him, ran into him at a Starbucks in Malibu. She was like, I was surprised. He actually looked like really feminine and nice, like really great hair. And I was like, well, I mean, he's fucking rich.
Well, I'm sure the hormones have something to do with the voice thing, but that the voice change is weird to me because if somebody's a closeted gay person, there's no mystery. You know that that person's gay just by the... David Cross did a really good bit on this on, what was it, If Baseball Had AIDS or something like that, mm-hmm. like a comedy album.
Yeah.
He was like, not all gay people talk like that, but only gay people talk like that.
So you got to switch it up.
With the gay voice, that person's definitely gay. They just don't know it or whatever the fuck, right?
Yeah.
But you can't... I don't know how it works with gender dysphoria. Is it the same? Does your voice... Like, is that part of it? I don't know.
I don't either, man. I mean, because I had a bunch of gay buddies in L.A., and the ones that were, like, the gayest... who were just like, man, I fuck dudes.
Yeah.
We're like dudes like this. Yeah, and I was just, and it made you jealous where you were like, shit, like, what'd you do today? Man, we went to the, like, me and my boyfriend went to the gym. We came home fucked.
Played video games.
Yeah. And then I was like, all right, cool.
Got my dick sucked playing 2K.
That's what he said. And he was like, dude, we went to the movies. I got my dick sucked in the movie theater. And then we played video games. And I was like, shit,
it's
man.
Gotta be the easiest relationship. The easiest. It's just pure logic all the time.
I know.
I suck your dick last night. You suck my dick tonight. It's just even Steven.
Yeah. The lesbian one, that's going to be the hardest one. No, because then you're bitching over everything, dude. Yeah.
And your periods sync up and shit.
Oh, God. Yeah.
You move in together within 2 weeks of the relationship starting. It's called U-Haul Lesbians. It's a thing. Look it up.
It
assholes.
Is. That's true.
A comedian friend of mine, Case Rosso, has a joke that I've been telling him to do, but he's scared to. He just said to me one time, he said, you know, the statistics of, like, domestic abuse amongst gay male couples is, like, almost non-existent. Mm. And then amongst lesbian couples, it's, like, staggeringly high. And then he goes, kind of makes you wonder whose fault it is, doesn't it?
Yeah. Because, I mean, look,
a really good joke. You should do it at Lilith Fair. Like,
oh, yeah, it'd be great.
Break that one out at the right moment.
It'd be great. Because, I mean, look, it's in the news now with this Gabby Petito shit. People are going back and forth of this body cam footage of, like, you know, did he hit her? Was she punching him? All that other shit. Right, and you're just like, who fucking knows, dude? You put two crazies in a fucking van together and see what happens.
This dude's some kind of, like, fucking sovereign citizen survivalist guy or some shit.
So he's still out there.
Well, he's probably in a swamp in Florida up to his neck.
But that's still a talent.
It is impressive. Dying, can't act like it's not impressive.
Dying in a swamp is not talent.
But he's still alive.
How do you know?
Wow.
There was some footage.
There was some footage from a deer stand.
There's footage of goddamn Bigfoot, dude. Come on.
Hey.
Have you seen footage that's actually convincing you that it's him specifically?
All right, so let me bring up this, because this was what I said the other day.
I'm not fully, I know a little bit about this story.
But you know what they look like, right? Okay.
Yeah.
I think when you go bald at 22 years old, you lose your fucking mind and you're like, oh shit. And then you start to look. Since I looked at the early pictures when they first started dating together, full head of hair, everything was fine. They looked the same age. Lost all of his fucking hair.
She did that probably. That's probably her fault.
It could be.
You go bald at 22. That's not somebody else's fault. That's too much stress.
Well, male pattern baldness is because of too much testosterone. Technically.
So I actually asked a barber because I was thinning up here. And then I took Keeps and now it's less thin. And then I said I was really fucking struggling in quarantine. I was like, could it have been stress? He goes, that's the main reasons. Stress
Cortisol.
Or medication or genetics. And if it's genetics, you're fucked. But yeah, oh, cortisol. Yeah, like stress. Yeah. So that bitch cortisol in his ass out.
Who knows?
Not call her a bitch, my bad.
I know, exactly. The body's still warm.
The royal bitch.
Like, yeah.
The royal bitch. The bitch in all of us.
Yeah. But by the time this airs on Sunday night, they could have. They might have him. So, look, we're recording this on a Friday. If they caught him, obviously, then, you know.
I mean, he definitely killed her. He fucking killed her.
Oh, yeah.
Her, sure,
It seems very unlikely that is not the case.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a little crazy, it seems, from his social media posts and shit, but any relatively rational person would know, don't run.
If
you're innocent, I mean, like, if she fell out the side of a fucking mountain and he's just like, fuck, I gotta get out of here.
Yeah.
And panicked, you could still probably get out of that. Like, there's gonna be...
And at a certain point, you'll come to your senses. You'll be like, yo, I can't do this. Like, this girl's dead.
You would think so, right?
Yeah, if you're sane.
If
you're not a killer.
If nothing actually happened, but if you, like... I haven't seen what they've done to this woman's body yet. Are there defensive wounds? Does she have his skin under?
Yes, they did classify it as a homicide. He is the suspect. There is a manhunt on going for him right now.
That means
they think they aided and abetted and gave him like a 3-day head start of like, hey, here's your shit. Get the fuck out of here and just go. Which I had this conversation and it's dark, but if one of my kids, because I got two boys right now, if one of them had killed somebody, I'd probably be like, look, I don't know what the fuck happened. Here, go. Just go. We can never speak again, but you got to go.
If I had a son, I'd turn that motherfucker in for a bounty.
Really?
And if I had a daughter, I'd be like, yo, we'll protect you at all costs. I really think that's how I would do it. Because I noticed my little brother, like cousins and like female cousins, I'm so much tougher with the dudes. There's no excuses. Shut the fuck up. I don't want to hear it. And with any of the girls, I'm like, it's okay, dude. Don't worry. Life is hard, you know? So who needs a job? Marry a rich guy.
That's
what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, we're all trying to do that. Yeah. The only thing that changed my mind on the girl aspect was we did a story about that chick, the hot ass, like, she looked like a sorority chick, but she was in a gang here in Texas, and then she lit that family on fire when they were sleeping.
Holy shit.
Strangers. Straight up strangers. So, like, she had gotten off of...
Why, that's hilarious. I know. So funny. What a turn.
It's wild, dude.
Lit them on fire.
Lit them off. But
that's not the story you expect to hear.
Yeah, so, dude. Come on.
She was this white girl in, like, Houston, and she was originally convicted of a drive-by. And you were like, yo, what the fuck? Yeah, and then they didn't have enough evidence, so they had to let her go. And then 2 weeks later, she walked into a house at random, didn't know the couple at all, doused the bed in gasoline at like 2:33 in the morning. They were sleeping and then lit them on fire. So the one guy died, and then the other woman's got like severe burns and all this other shit. But like, they have no idea why or whatever, and they thought it was like some type of gang initiation. If you could see what this girl looks like...
There's no gang.
You'd be like, there's no...
Yeah,
it's a normal like hot sorority girl where you're just like, what the fuck is going on here?
God, that's so funny. Yes. What a turn.
So if you're gonna light somebody on fire, I don't know that I could protect you. Like, fire would be the worst.
Like if the guy woke, let's say she's doused the bed in gasoline and the guy slept through it, and then he wakes up and he's like, what is this? And he just sees this hot girl.
Yeah.
And his wife, he's like, my wildest fantasy is about to come true. And then she just strikes a match, and then he's like, wait, what? Yeah. What's happening right now?
It turns into a Rihanna video.
Yeah, it's real fucking, what a turn, man. Yeah. I didn't think that story was going to end like that.
No, it did. So she's back in jail now, and like everybody's shocked where they're like, holy shit, I can't believe this girl. You look at the picture, and you're like, there's no way somebody like that would do it. But here we are.
Why is there some... There actually is a relationship between physical attractiveness and a propensity for violence, right?
There has to be. Less attractive people are angrier because nobody wants to talk to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Think so, right?
Yeah.
Although, at the higher end, probably later in life, sometime in your 20s or 30s, there's probably more sociopathic tendencies in more attractive people. Because they don't have to develop those blocks for bad behavior throughout life because people let them get away with shit because they're women. You know
what I mean? It's true.
So you're responsible for at least some female sociopath.
I would say
at least one.
Probably the majority of the population.
Okay. It's just me?
Yeah, not just you,
but you and
I'm sure you tell these bitches what time it is all the time.
I was gonna say you and people like you, but
yeah, we can't say that
for a white man.
Can't say that.
I can't accept the idea that if you see a hot girl do something wrong, you're like, hey, I'm the accountability police on this one. You're not getting away with this.
In most cases, I would agree with you, but if you want to go back and watch some of the tape,
I'm kind
of a dick.
Yeah.
A bit of a dick.
Is that your game?
No, there's no game. I just Asperger's,
you
I
don't
guess.
Suffer it's like fools.
Dan's killed hundreds of people overseas, so like that's
nothing to do with anything.
I think you're just numb to it.
No, it's just something is either right or it is not right. And
binary.
I will change
I do agree with that.
I will change the way I deliver information if it's someone that I feel like is at risk, like a child or something like that.
Yeah.
But for an adult human being, I'm gonna tell them exactly what I think. Mm-hmm. Most of the time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all the time.
Most of the time. Yeah. If I said everything I think all the time, we wouldn't be sitting here right now. This place would be on fire. And I would be one of the girls that he's talking about.
You ever dated a crazy girl?
I hadn't really been in a real relationship until my wife.
Really?
I'm like a religious guy. I wasn't trying to have sex until I got married, all those other gay things.
Yeah.
And
that is super gay.
My wife now is really attractive and high maintenance, and she's great. She's actually a great woman, but yeah, that shit is work, dude.
If she's high maintenance now, because look, your show keeps getting bigger and bigger, right?
Yeah.
Then she's going to start asking for more shit. You know that, right?
Like, yeah, no, the rate of inflation of relationships is it's unparalleled in anything in society.
Yes.
Like the gifts that I started, we've been dating, what, 6 years and married for a few months. When I first started dating her, gifts would be like, $100.
Yeah.
The rate of inflation, it's like fucking college tuition.
Yeah.
What happened year to year that we've...
A lot of administrative costs.
Yeah.
administrative the university costs. I don't know about that.
Yeah, dude. It's a very bureaucratic thing, a relationship.
Yeah.
So I'm always caught up in red tape with this
That's why you have to treat your female partner like the vice president, right? You give them something to do.
Mm-hmm. Just something.
Yeah, nothing really important or anything, like the border.
Yeah.
Just give them something to do so they're out of the way.
Oh my goodness.
But you're right, dude. It just keeps going up where you're just like, hey, dude, you used to be poor.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What are we doing here?
How upset were
this?
You when you started telling your wife how much you're really making on this podcast? Like, when it started to get crazy, you're probably like, hey, this is great. There's a moment of happiness in the back of your mind. You're like, fuck, dude.
Well, I will say this.
You went up another star in hotels.
I know, because then I flipped it and was just like, hey, because she's funny as shit. And I'm like, yo, do you want to do a show together? We're on like episode 700. So,
really?
Oh, yeah. She's great. She's like Christina P. Mm-hmm. My whole thing is if I could put the two of them together, mm-hmm. because of how well females sell advertising on podcasts, I go, dude, Tom and I would never have to fucking work ever again. Mm. That's it.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
put the two of you guys, just do a fucking mom show. They're around the same age, same amount of kids, everything else.
Oh, dude,
and then
a vulgar
it would,
mom show? Get out of here.
Because she does one now. It's called Where My Mom's At, but it's just her mm-hmm. talking to, like, producers and shit, right? And I'm like, just put another fucking hot blonde girl together, and then that's it. Boom.
Wait till that Barstool bitch has kids. What's her name? Alex?
Alexandra.
Oh, yeah.
Wait
yeah.
till she
Nick,
has kids.
Nick yeah. Or other. Yeah. She took the fucking money and went to Spotify.
Yeah,
60 million.
Dude, she's a beast. She's mm-hmm. a beast.
Did you guys get offers?
She does all the fucking work, too.
Never got an offer, but this girl, when I heard how much work she put in, I was like, she deserves all of it.
It was very enlightening for me how that all went public. I'm glad it did, because I had no idea how much effort that one person
record for 3 hours and edit down into one is crazy.
Yeah,
crazy.
A conversation.
It takes a couple of days.
Yeah.
Oh, because we don't edit. I don't know if you guys do. We don't edit where it's just like, hey.
Well, we definitely started doing more editing as we've gotten like longer episodes. Mm. And it's just like, let's cut out. Usually we'll be like, if there's a segment that kind of drags, let's just cut it out and keep this thing moving.
Yeah, because you guys go sometimes like 2-3 hours on yours, and that's a long fucking time. Like Dan and I decided a long time ago to kind of keep it between 60 to 90, and then if somebody's super fucking crazy fascinating, then great, it'll go as long as it needs to go. But for me personally, and I love Rogan. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying this as a fan, but each Rogan show was 3 hours.
Yeah, it's a meal. You got to digest it.
100%. So, and my drives aren't that long. So, like, I'm like, man, can I fucking skip ahead to whatever that shit is? But you don't know where the good shit is. And it's like, all right, how do you guys decide?
We just try to talk. I'll get topics together throughout the week. I'll have a list of topics. Usually Andrew will be like, hey, let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. Is there something I really want to talk about? I'll be like, hey, let's talk about this. And then... we talk it out and we just see where the conversation goes. And we try to always keep like the friendship forward in terms of like teasing each other about friend stuff or whatever. It's like, it's like a guy's hang like this. And then we just kind of let the conversation flow wherever it goes.
Yeah. Cause like shit, some of these episodes are topping out in like 3 hours and I'm like, motherfucker.
We have one that's like 4.5, dude.
Who is that?
DJ Academics.
Okay. Yeah.
And I was by the end, you see me physically give up. I put my feet on the table. I slink down in the chair, and I'm just done. I can't do it anymore. I'm here. I'm trying, but you can see my body's like, it's over, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because mentally, you just get 4 hours, dude. Of engaging conversation, I can't do it.
And we're on daily, so it's like, no.
Oh, you guys do daily.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so boy. I'm like, dude, not a prayer.
Yeah.
100%. Not a prayer.
You can only do 60 to 90. Then.
Yeah, because I know with McAfee, part of his deal with, are you a Pat McAfee fan?
I think he's very funny.
So do I. We love McAfee here. But part of his deal with FanDuel was, hey, dude, you got to go daily and you got to go 3 hours a day. And it's like, when you're doing sports like that, first of all, athletes are boring as shit to most of them to interview. We've had some great ones. We've also had some ones where it's
Who's
just like,
who's your favorite athlete to interview?
Michael Irvin was probably
I fucking love Michael Irvin.
Dude. So he, and it, that was a wild one because the first one was on Zoom.
Yeah.
And no lie, he doesn't care if I tell the story, but No lie. So I'm looking at him in the monitor. It's like dead ahead, right? Yeah. And I see him. He's got a Louis Vuitton bag.
Yeah.
And he's literally just counting out thousands and thousands of dollars.
I love this guy. And so I was much,
like,
dude.
What the? And we're not on the air. And I was like, and I looked at Dan and I was like, yeah, should we say anything? I don't know if he knows that we're on or whatever. And he goes, Riggy, Riggy, come take the bag. Take the bag. And I was like, hey, dude, we can hear. I was like, you know, just don't worry. We're not recording or whatever. I go, I don't give a fuck. He's like, everything's rad. And he goes, yeah, dude. He's like, dude, if I get one more fucking relative that asks me for money, dude, like, this guy $20,000. This guy $20,000. And then he ends up talking about it on the show. And I was like, holy shit, this is amazing.
He's the best, dude.
The best. And then 2 weeks later, we did a live show in Cowboy Stadium for the Canelo fights. Chuck Liddell's on our network.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it was Chuck. And we, you know, at the end of the show, and I'm sure you guys are like this with guests, hey, if you ever need anything, hit us up, come right. by, whatever, right? right? Michael Irvin hit us up and was just like, yo, y'all going to that fight? I heard you got a suite.
Dude,
and I was
my
like,
dream come true. I grew up, born in 84, so the 90s Cowboys.
Yeah.
That was like right. I wish it happened later because I didn't appreciate what was happening. Mm-hmm. I just thought that's what football was, the Cowboys go to the Super Bowl. But that team meant so much to me because it was I was a kid. Dude, and Michael Irvin, looking back, was my favorite of the triplets.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was all heart, dude. I'm a big guy. If you got
he was
heart,
definitely
I'm
the
in.
Most entertaining, for sure.
It well, and
first down, come on.
Heart-wise. Yeah, dude. So when he came back, he called and was just like, yo, can I come hang in the suite? I was like, yeah. So he came, watched the Canelo fight with us. We hung out with him and did a show. And the thing about him is when you need it, he's on. Like, fucking on, and he's very, very smart. Mm-hmm. And he's always on, so he's a great fucking interview. And that guy, I mean, shit, I could do a daily show with him all day long, and, like, it would destroy. Like, he's just that fucking good. Yeah. But when I watch him on, like, the NFL Network, because they do those shitty Thursday night games, he's stuck with his shitty crew, and I'm just like, you can tell he just hates it. He's just like,
The other two guys I really like are also NFC East guys, Fred Smoot. From the Redskins.
Oh,
I have not heard him.
Dude.
He was great as a player. I mean, he wasn't a good player, but he was great at trash talk.
He's hilarious.
And he is a very, very fast, hilarious, and a very knowledgeable guy.
That makes sense.
And then
Freddie Mitchell.
Freddie Mitchell.
Eagles. Yep. Back in the day. Yeah.
You remember Fred X?
I remember Brian Mitchell. No. I don't remember Freddie Mitchell.
Okay. Freddie Mitchell, 4th and 26. With McNabb. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was against the Cowboys. I should know that.
Yeah.
Hey, well, maybe you're blocking. I don't know.
And he was so cool that, like, we did the show with him, and then we went to do the Super Bowl in Atlanta. I think it was the Rams-Patriots one. And and
the
worst
Super Bowl of all time.
Yeah. It was like 13-3. But he called and was just like, hey, dude. I heard you guys are going on the Super Bowl. I was like, yeah. He's what are you saying? I was like, we got an Airbnb, like 5 bedrooms or whatever. He goes, got an extra bedroom, man. I'm going down there. He's like, I'd love to hang with y'all. And I was like,
that's fucking incredible.
That was great. We partied all weekend. Who do we interview? A running back from the Broncos.
Oh, Terrell Davis.
Yeah.
Oh,
we had Terrell Davis on.
Man.
TD. We had TD
Hall
on.
Hall of Famer, yeah.
Yeah.
For 4 years, he was a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, pretty
yeah.
He's that good.
Yeah.
He got John Elway Super Bowls.
Oh, yeah. And then he retired young, man. I think he was like 29.
Yeah, he had a crazy knee injury. I think ACL, MCL, PCL, or LCL, something like that. Like, his knee was fucked.
They gave him like 3 more L's. Like, that's how fucked up his knee was. They were like,
yeah, TCL, RCL, XCL, yeah.
Yeah.
XLR.
But he was a blast. Yeah, there was a bunch of people down there for that. But, Freddie rocked. But usually with most athletes, it's very buttoned up of, like, try to get my 100% and all that other shit.
Get
and I'm just like,
here.
Dude, I can't do it. So McAfee doing that shit 3 hours a day with those guys, like,
well,
that's crazy.
Well, he picks the right people, though, obviously. Like, Aaron Rodgers is going to talk shit. Obviously, he doesn't care.
Yeah.
You have to either get a guy that's at a point in his career where he's got enough clout where he can say whatever the fuck he wants and nobody's going to be able to do anything about it, or somebody that's retired. Otherwise, they're not going to – usually they're not going to be very honest.
Yeah. Who was your favorite guest that you guys have had on Flagrant 2?
Alex Jones. You knew that. That was a leading question.
I didn't know that.
Who else could it be?
I didn't know that.
I forget. Academics was great. But Alex Jones, man, fuck, because you go in there, and I didn't know much about him, and I know the Sandy Hook shit, and I'm like, look, I know it's going to be great content, but I've been critical of this guy. I feel like I'm going to be hypocritical if I have him on.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second you have him on, he's the most charismatic fucking person I've ever met in my life.
Yep.
I don't care if we disagree on politics shit. I don't, this thing we're all doing in society now where you can't talk to people who are different than you politically, I think that's fucking weird on both ends.
Same.
I had a conversation about that the other day, and the conversation was like, somebody said, I can't believe you could work with somebody that thinks or that voted this way. Somebody had said this to one of my friends.
Right.
And like, well, like how did people ever do that? How did they ever work together? Like, because nobody fucking gave a shit.
You know what?
Like, it didn't come up in fucking work.
Our parents used to say, I don't know, I remember, like, older, my parents didn't really say it, but, like, because in India, you love talking politics, but, like, I would hear that all the time, don't talk politics. Mm-hmm. Now I see why.
Yeah.
Our parents used to not talk politics because it was just like, you do your thing, I do mine, that's it. Now, I can't associate with you if your thing isn't my thing.
Right.
But I was, like, in my head, when Alex came on, like, am I going to look like a fucking hypocrite that, whatever. But as soon as he came on, he's truly the funniest guy.
Dude. He's very and sharp. He's on.
He's smart. He gets what's funny about him. He gets what he's saying. He's in on it.
Yeah.
People who think everything he's saying, he believes, you're probably an idiot. But if you don't think everything he's saying is at least funny, you're an idiot too.
Yeah. And I've said this numerous times on the show because I think he's been on two or three times. We did the election night gig with him. And we'll get to why you guys pulled the video.
Right.
But with I've always said the same thing. It's like I view him as an entertainer.
He is, man.
And if you want to take shit seriously or not seriously, like, a lot of it does come true. Some of it doesn't.
Yeah.
I don't know what the basis of it is, and I don't really care. He's entertaining, and that's what we're here to do
and he's
all day long.
A gifted speaker.
Yes.
You talk about doing 3 hours. Imagine just your fucking self.
Mm-hmm. He does
three,
like
four,
six.
Five, 6 hours.
Oh, dude.
Bang, bang, bang. So, yeah, he's going to say a lot of shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's actually what you said is when it clicked with me. I mean, I was already like, this guy's funny and all that, but then I was like, oh, you are a stand-up comic. You just don't know it.
Yeah.
What a stand-up
he's
does.
He's a political Andy Kaufman.
Yeah.
What a stand-up does is we take some shit that's supposed to be indefensible, and then we try to find a way to defend it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying anything about all of his opinions or whatever, but at least once or twice, he's probably done some shit like that, where it's like, hey, let me have this crazy premise, this crazy idea, and then let me justify it. And I was like, if you focused on stand-up, I think I said this to him, you would be one of the greatest stand-ups of all time.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, you got a huge podcast. We got some sponsors who put this shit wagon on the air. First and foremost is GhostBed.com/drinkingbros. 30% off everything in the entire store with the promo code drinkingbros at checkout. That is pillows, sheets, mattresses, adjustable bases, you name it. 30% off that pillow topper, that cooling pillow topper is now also 30% off. Everywhere you go, you turn. Whoa. Oh, shit. Was that another 30% off? That was another 30% off. I don't know how GhostBed's making any money. I love them. They're in every goddamn room of my house. These guys are with us for another 2 years. As always, they got a 36-month pay-as-you-go program. No interest there at GhostBed.com/drinkingbros. If you have decent credit, don't come at me with like a fucking 510 and expect to get that deal. You'll get the deal. It's going to be a little higher per month. But if you bundle all this stuff together, you can walk out of there with a brand new mattress set between $35 and $38 a month. Go to GhostBed.com/drinkingbros today and take advantage of this deal. Next up, we got CardoMax.com, helping you achieve your max. Owned and operated by former Navy SEAL and ex-CEO of Strikeforce Energy, CardoMax. Got their new energy intensifier, blue raspberry, pink lemonade. Choose sides. It is Bloods or Crips, dude. I choose blue raspberry. So that means, obviously, I'm a Crip. I'm a Crip in this life. I've made my decision. Go to CardoMax.com. Use the promo code DRINKINGBROS for 30% off your next four orders. So if you order it once and you use the promo code DB, it's DB. DB is our promo code there. DB at CardoMax.com. If you use the promo code DB, congratulations. They're going to track your next four orders. You get 30% off every single one of those. I'm always hyped up on them every single day. That is CardoMax.com. Use the promo code DB for 30% off your next four orders. Love CardoMax, dude. It's one of those things you pop it into any liquid available. It comes in a little pouch. You take it with you wherever you go. On the road, it's super tiny and thin. It'll go through TSA, all of it. Again, that is CardoMax.com, CardoMax.com. Use the promo code DB for 30% off your next four orders. The energy intensifier, that'll get you jacked up for all your workouts, everything you're doing in this life.
Go to cardomax.com, promo code DB for 30% off your next four orders.
And again, I'm not trying to disparage any of his beliefs or whatever, but just his brain, the way it works.
Very fast.
Well, if you think about what you're describing right now is kind of the Socratic method, right? So you develop a premise and you try to falsify it. And if the premise is unfalsifiable, then it's not a premise at all.
Right.
You know what I mean? So if you, it's like, prove God doesn't exist. Like, okay, cool, man. Let's just move on to the next conversation.
Yeah.
That's stupid. But when people say things like, when people make empirical claims about the universe and you can't falsify that, meaning there's no amount of evidence I could come up with in any hypothetical scenario to falsify that claim, that means that that claim isn't a claim at all. Mm-hmm. That's just an opinion or some fucking vague statement.
Okay.
But that's what you do in comedy, right? You take the premise and you work backwards from it. Like, wouldn't it be funny if this, I mean, this is a super fucked up situation. How do I make that funny?
Right. Yeah.
Right? Because like you, the story he told earlier about the hot girl or whatever, the thing that got you was not expecting to hear that.
What a fucking, that's so good.
Just lit him on fire, dude.
And lit him on fire.
It challenges people.
God killed him.
It challenges people. Like when they hear something and they're like, what the fuck? And they're starting to feel maybe offended or grossed out or whatever it is. And all of a sudden it becomes funny. That's a nice journey to take somebody on.
It is the best. If you don't initially feel like at least shocked at what I'm saying and not horrified, but just like, what?
Yeah.
It's probably not a joke I'm going to enjoy telling. I have a joke about how I don't believe in white male privilege. I love telling that in New York. I have a joke about how I do believe in white female privilege. I love telling that to these liberal white women who somehow decided they're minorities. I have a joke about how there's American privilege. These are all things that initially you're like, eh. Yeah. I'm working on a bit right now about how women should support prostitution. Like, you should be the ones getting us hookers. Because I haven't figured out how to make it super funny yet, but the idea is like, this is a job, right? This is a part of the job you don't really enjoy fulfilling our physical needs.
Yeah, you're outsourcing. Yeah, you're outsourcing.
Part of the job I don't really enjoy is fulfilling her emotional need. If there was a service where I could outsource just some random guy to come over every night and just talk this bitch's ear off, I had platinum level membership.
Yeah, it's called a gay best friend.
Yeah, gay best friend. But I need him all the time. Like, let me just pay you to just be here.
Yeah.
And then go home. And I don't want a real connection. That's cheating. Cheating is fucked up. A hooker, a hand job for Robert Kraft. These are business transactions.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And Robert was, look, that was an intense day.
He's also
AFC NFC championship. We were there.
Yeah.
That was an intense game that went to overtime that day. So, yeah. Did he deserve to get a fucking HJ?
Sunday.
Yeah. Atlanta. No. It was the AFC Championship.
Oh, AFC.
It was Chiefs
AFC,
versus. I'm sorry. It was the Chiefs versus
Patriots. That was a good game.
Yeah, we were there.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so he got jacked off that morning, and the story broke. And
Do you think he came harder at the hand job or when that interception got called back because of the offsides?
Oh,
definitely the offsides for me.
100%. 100%. But when you saw that game, you were like, "Yeah, that's
you got to do what you got to do."
Yeah, justifiable.
Again, I think they're probably sex slaves or whatever, so that's fucked. You shouldn't do that.
About 43 million worldwide, give or take.
Really?
Yeah.
No shit.
There's more slaves right now than at any point in human history.
It's crazy.
By a wide margin.
That's where it's fucked. You don't go to that place. But if there's a high class rubdown, if you're getting a hand job from anything with Asia in the title, let's not go there.
Yeah.
Russia.
Chained to the wall.
But if that sorority bitch is out here giving hand jobs,
I mean, what's the worst that's going to happen other than maybe your DNA shows up at a crime scene later, right?
Yeah,
that's about it.
Dude.
Yeah, but that's about it. Make her wash her hands before.
Yeah.
Every massage should end.
Yeah. And look, if you believe in yourself too, because that's a key to it as well. Mm-hmm. If you believe you're good looking enough that you deserve it.
Yeah.
Then are they really a slave that day? Like, that's the fucked up thing. It's like,
I gave this bitch a day off. Actually,
yes.
When you get
it was like, hey, dude, this was a nice thing for you that I did. This was a gift from me to you. Like, it could have been a fat trucker.
You gave me a hand job.
Yeah. And I gave you money for that. Like, that's amazing.
It'd
be like if Kate Upton came in and was just like, dude, you've got to go down on me and then fuck me in the ass. You'd be like,
yes. Hold on. The second part is where it all goes wrong.
Yeah.
If it was just, you've got to go down on me.
No, it's like that episode of Workaholics where Adam had the fucking chin dildo. Like that.
Showed
up and was just like abusing him the whole time. It's got to be like that. Otherwise, if you get any pleasure out of it, that's not a gift anymore.
Yeah,
I guess. I don't know. Look, one man's trash is another man's treasure. Like, I don't need to get in. I didn't know there was that many sex slaves worldwide.
There's a lot.
Man.
How are they defining slave? Let's try to find some.
Is that Britney Spears?
I don't know if
slave
I would,
or no.
I
don't know if I'd go splitting hairs on that one. might get a little dicey.
There might be some funny in splitting the hairs, is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
so
there
you're
could
saying
be.
It was forcible rape and not the regular kind.
It wasn't the horrific.
Who the
kind?
Fuck said the phrase forcible rape for the first time? And what did they think rape was before that?
Yeah,
that you had to add a word to it. That's even worse.
People always say the age of consent. I guess I get it now, but I used to be like, what's the age of no consent? Is there an age where she's like 60 and you don't even need it?
Yeah.
What's the expiration date on that age of consent, lady?
Yeah.
Dude's just waiting around outside a fucking nursing homes. Like,
got the birthday cake ready.
That's a kink. We don't kink shame here. Never have, never will, by the way.
Oh, good for you guys.
Yeah. Because we got a, well, he's not here today because he's getting set up in Nashville, but our producer, he's into fucking older women.
Yeah.
Like, late 50s, 60s. He's a 30-year-old dude, and you're just like, what the fuck? Okay. He just wants to marry a rich old lady with a boat. That's his dream.
So, he went to school in Missouri.
Is that a kink or is that a lifestyle choice? It's like a gold digger. That's not a kink.
I wish he was here, because if you saw him, he's one of those guys where you're like, man, I can't tell. Like, you could be secretly gay. You could be
rich or AIDS, too.
Yes.
Or both.
Yes, but 100%.
These days, it doesn't matter, but in the 80s, are you rich artist or do you have AIDS? It's one of the two.
Yeah.
Because they're too skinny or what?
Yeah. Too skinny. Like, they look...
He wears the same pair of jeans.
They look disheveled all the time.
Yeah.
For no reason.
He makes great money. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Like,
now these gay motherfuckers built like you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody...
If you told me you were gay, that'd be the most believable thing I heard on this podcast.
Got some coming out to do, I guess. didn't Greg Giraldo?
I had no problem telling hot women what to do.
Yep.
I'm in great shape. It all adds up.
There's a lot of gay going on. Yeah.
Tons. I remember when I saw my first ripped gay dude, like a jacked gay dude. I was living in New York, and the Pride Parade came right by my place. Shirtless,
a fucking Super Bowl parade.
Holy
shit,
dude! And they were all like Gronkowski.
Yeah, these
and
guys
I was like,
are monsters.
Fuck
man.
Yeah, and it was like Stonewall, motherfuckers. All I kept hearing, like, and I was like, oh shit, dude.
Yeah.
Now that's
Greg Giraldo used to do a joke about that.
Yeah.
It was so good. I think it was like in 2004.
Heard this bit online on YouTube like a decade ago, but you probably know it better than me.
I don't.
Is he still alive?
No.
He's
the one.
He OD'd. Yeah. It was something to the effect of, we have these weird conceptions of what gayness is. But now all these gay dudes just walk around chiseled all the time. So there's going to be some point in the future where everybody's just over the gay thing. And dudes like sees a kid that's in high school that's a linebacker. Man, he's built like a gay guy. He might play in the NFL one day.
He's built like a real cocksucker or something like that. It's a really funny idea.
It's a good bit.
Yeah. It's a good bit. But, man, it's true. Like, dude, those guys were fucking jacked, where I was like, oh, shit, dude. One came out for the 49ers the other day, the linebacker.
If a guy is really in shape
or the Raiders.
Doesn't play sports, I think he's gay. If you are in great shape and you don't play sports, in my mind, you got to be gay.
Yeah.
It's like a male flight attendant at this point.
Yeah, what would be the point?
Yeah.
Cui bono, who benefits from the fact that you're going to work out?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You're a natural investigator. That's your property. Very inquisitive.
Yeah. Are you saying every male stew? Because we call them stews in the biz. You know that, right?
No.
Yeah, it's not a stewardess. It's a stew. Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Just made that up. But you think those stews are all gay, the male ones?
You should be. If you're not, I don't respect you.
I agree.
If you're not, I'm like, get a job, dude. It's embarrassing. Fucking embarrassing to me.
If you're a waiter at a restaurant that's not a steakhouse and you're not gay, you can do whatever you want.
That's true, too.
I just want you to be gay because I know I'm going to get an honest answer out of you.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Steakhouse.
Like, the gay dude is
going to... not a steakhouse. It's such a funny caveat.
But it really is true. We're like, if you think about it. Yeah, dude.
I know. It makes sense out here.
Because you're making good money in a steakhouse, and that's a career, right?
This straight guy brought me enchiladas the other day. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Well, it's not what he brings you. It's that if I order something shitty on the menu, there is a 0% chance that gay dude's not going to say something about
it. Oh, he'll tell you.
He's definitely going to tell me.
Yeah.
And the straight guy's just like, I don't give a fuck about this
straight guy.
Oh, yeah.
This guy. He sees me as competition. The gay guy sees me as somebody he needs to impress. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You are.
It's really that simple.
100%.
Look, I'm showing all the signs.
Yeah. Look, we're all getting there as a society. I look at those fucking BTS kids.
Oh yeah.
The
yeah,
Korean
yeah, yeah.
The K-pop shit.
Yeah, there's a group of Caitlyn Jenners just doing music.
Yeah.
I mean, what the fuck? It's like a little, they're like little dolls, but you know, and China, I can't really tell.
China banned their music because they're like, they had some law they passed. Mark on our podcast told us, but it's like something like no effeminate men. There's no, we no displayed images of effeminate men or some shit. Like
Yeah. And they've changed the textbooks and everything of like, hey dude, we need to create a more manly culture. Whatever the fuck those kids are on. Yeah. And like, even when they're singing, it's just enough English, but it's kind of broken. And you're like, and they're all high pitched. You're like, what the fuck is really going on there? And I feel like it's just a goddamn magic trick because it's like, oh, they're the number one band in the world. Every time one of them does something, everybody flips the fuck out. And now they're trying to get them on albums. So like Coldplay, just put them on a new song. And you're just like, what?
I remember the first people I met that were into K-pop. I was like, why? What?
Like, yeah.
Why?
Why?
It doesn't make any sense. Bollywood is right there, guys. Come on.
It doesn't make any sense.
Money.
Yeah, exactly,
South
dude.
South Korea don't need that shit. They got enough.
Because they've been fucking singing and dancing for years.
No, South Korea has been one of the on the leading edge of technology for years, not singing and dancing.
Yeah.
So in 2003, I wrote a paper in college about this. Their average internet speed for a home was 50 megabits per second. If you know anything about the internet, that's fast as fuck. For these days, for a rural.
Oh, yeah.
For like a country.
We don't even have that here.
But that was their whole country because South Korea invested in the infrastructure to build all that shit. And they've been producing a lot of stuff.
And that's why in the age of social media, they're kings. They're taking over the internet.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Like, they've got it figured out. But like,
when's the last time you heard anything bad about a South Korean? Right?
No, it's true.
Maybe this could all be propaganda.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, maybe
North Korea's dope as shit.
We don't know it.
Yeah, and fucking those interview dicks owe us an apology for lying or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I was thinking it's like if your twin brother's a serial killer, like anything you do is pretty great.
Yeah, like if you're Bill Clinton and Roger Clinton is your birthday. I don't know if that hits anymore.
Roger took a lot of fucking shit, and he was a great sax player.
What if you're Jeb Bush and your brother's George W. Bush? Is that more recent?
It's a gimpy. You're still not president.
Does Biden have a good brother?
No. Does he have any brothers?
Yeah, I think didn't he have an older brother or something?
They got to be dead by now, right?
Has to be. He's 79.
Yeah.
If he's got an older brother, it'd be like fucking. Who's the one left from the Golden Girls? Betty White?
Betty White.
It'd be like, oh, yeah, she's wishing her mom a happy Mother's Day. You're like, there's no fucking way she's alive. You're 99.
Look, with her level of income and advances in modern science.
Oh, I agree. You can probably live forever
at
some point.
She's at least cryogenically frozen somewhere, I think is what he said.
Yeah. And I think the same thing with BTS. Like, if you pull down their pants, I think it's just like a Ken doll.
Like an action figure.
Yes.
Yeah, I could see that.
Although
I started
a company when I was in high school to make genitals for action figures, and I couldn't get it off the ground, unfortunately.
No.
I went to Walmart, no. Toys R Us, which still existed at the time, no. Like, I'm just trying to represent, you know,
the proper genitalia
look like.
Yeah.
What happens when a girl goes, she's been playing with dolls her whole life and she goes to suck some dude's hog the first time. And
yeah, it's that's just the thing. I don't want to see my daughter sucking Ken's dick. You know what I mean?
That's come true on. Too. Yeah. You don't want her experimenting.
Deep throating Ken. Come on.
I mean, how big is it going to be on a little doll though?
Enough that she'll put in her mouth.
Do you have a daughter?
No. That's what I was saying earlier, kind of alluding to. I think I would prefer to have a daughter. I never thought I'd feel that way.
Yeah.
But, like, I think I'd prefer to have a daughter than a son because I think a son and I would not get along.
No shit.
Because I'm very, like, with tough love, kind of. Mm-hmm. With a girl, it's easy for me to turn it off and nurture and all that. But with a guy, I'm like, man, just shut the fuck. Like, do it. Just do it or don't. I don't want to hear your excuses. And I think that would cause him to be like, yo, I don't like my dad.
But if you walked in and saw her giving a blowjob, would that not...
Turn me on? No.
No, not that. Could you imagine? You're just like, keep going. Keep Meg, finish him off. No, but I mean, that's what I think that as a dude, you're just like, God damn it. Because I had a buddy of mine who had a daughter, right? And I go, what was the experience for you? Because the kids are grown.
Yeah.
And I was like, what was the experience for you? And he goes, man, worst day of my life, dude. I walked in and
oh my god, yeah, dude. Dog. Oh, I didn't even think
so
about that.
So in the base, he said they were in the basement. It was late. It was after like homecoming or whatever, and she was dating like the quarterback or whatever the fuck on the football team.
You got to know that guy's piping your girl down. Come on,
piping her, dude, and just from behind, and he's just it woke him up. Like he was just hearing this violent banging, and like he genuinely didn't know what it was. He was like, I was kind of disoriented, whatever. Went down the stairs, went in the basement, and then he goes, I just see her just getting fucking railed from behind, like over this couch. And I'm like, oh my God, was that the worst? And he goes, it's the worst. And he goes, I can't get that image out of my mind.
That wouldn't even affect me.
He said when the towers went down, he goes, bro, it was worse. That was worse than when the towers went down.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Because her tower went down multiple times.
Oh, God. No. I mean, It was, and when I sat there and thought about it, because I'm on the phone with them, and I'm like, and you could hear, this was years ago. And
you know,
like,
why it's worse, though? Because I thought it would be, like, innocent missionary sex, like, but this girl is getting fucked. If you're getting fucked doggy style over a couch.
But think about how many times you've done it.
She's a loose little gal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's par. Right? let's be real here about
this. This guy's a fucking Viking, dude. No. I don't know what's sitting next to me, but I'm having trouble understanding. He's like, yeah, that's how you fuck, right? In high school, you bend a girl over a couch and hit it from the back.
You just can't
not
shake that.
Not only
memory.
That, but that's not like. It shouldn't be that shocking as an adult to see that, right? I walk in on people having sex all the time.
But it's your daughter.
And homecoming. She's 16 at this point.
Yeah.
16.
Yeah. What do you do? What
is it? Fucked like that?
Like, would you be freaked out if you saw your son take a shit?
He's probably a shitty father.
No.
I'm going to tell you right now, I bet he was absent a lot.
No. He was there. And, like, he's a great guy, good dad, all that. Because
scary.
I've gone through all of these scenarios in my mind, like, trying to break this down. And I was just like, there was no other explanation than, like, obviously kids are kids. And, fuck, I'm sure you railed your wife out doggy style, like, a week ago, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, my wife. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Exactly. But with girlfriends and everything else, like, that's going to happen. Yeah. And if you just walk in on it and it's your daughter, though, and you're just like, what do you say?
Put a sock on the door, you dumb bitch.
Yeah.
Fuck else would you say?
What is this?
Yeah.
He's trapped now.
You can't be attacked. You can't go anywhere.
That mic became self-aware and attacked that guy. You gotta be careful.
Holy shit.
But I go, what was the statement that you said? What did you say? Because there's got to be a statement to break this up at this point, right? And you can't go over and just knock out the dude because
you pull out your phone
cool
and you play
either.
The
Dixon
fucking
your daughter.
You pull out your phone and play the Curb Your Enthusiasm music.
No.
You just walk out, right?
His phrase was, Brian, take your dick out of my daughter, and just stone cold like that, and was just like, and he froze, she froze, and it was the whole thing or whatever. And I go, what happened after that? Because he said the daughter came up and apologized or whatever. He's like, look. You don't have to apologize. I just don't ever want to talk about it again. Because if you're having sex, just be respectful and like that's about it. And moved on
that's
with
a
his day.
Talk.
It is, and like I said, he's a good dude. And like when I heard that story, I was like, oh shit, dude.
I love that. Fuck. I love that the talk thing, because if it doesn't happen when they're like 9, 10, 11, don't bother. They have outgrown your knowledge base at that point. As fucking young tweens and teenagers these days.
There's
no talk that a 40-year-old dude can have with a fucking 13-year-old that's going to be productive, right? Let's
He'll probably teach
about
you about sex.
Yeah. Oh, dude, because they're so far ahead. Like, we didn't have any of this shit, right?
Yeah.
Now they have access to all of it, and it's like you wonder, too, if it changes society of like, all right, cool, man, you've got to do like spit, gag, fucking anal
sure. And it's kind of become normalized in this way that girls watch it too. I remember comics talking about that, like fucking younger girls, it's like clear they watch porn, like they do the things. Like,
yeah.
Someone guy was saying like they'll look back when you're hitting it from the back and do like the porn look or whatever and they'll like moan differently and it's like sex is just going to be different.
It is, yeah. Yeah, and it's fucking crazy to think about where you're just like, all right, sweet.
I've also heard they're not as horny as we were in the sense of chasing pussy because they have that at their disposal at all times.
It is over the last 25 years, the average male's testosterone has dropped by 40%.
Yes.
And because of plastics, mostly.
You know what's weird, dude, is I just had this conversation at so my next door neighbors, they've got high school kids, and we went to the little homecoming parade and all that other stuff. And I was talking to the one dude is on the football team, and his mom is our next door neighbor. And I was like, "Hey, there's a bunch of hot girls rolling around." I'm like, "Oh, yeah, so." And I go, "Is your son with all of these girls?" And she goes, "No, they're fucking weird now." And I was like, "What?" And she was like, "Yeah, none of them are like as crazy as we were back in the day, and like they just don't do that type of shit."
Yeah.
And I didn't believe it, and then I saw their interactions, and I was like, "Oh, fuck, you're right. It's definitely changed." And I wonder if you're right, if it's the access to it where you're just like, well. Rather go home and just jack off to.
I don't have to deal
with
rejection.
How much porn I fucking watch, I still want to fuck all the time.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't think that's.
I don't know, man. I think it's a.
I'll put this guy on the front of a ship right now, and everybody'll take over a country we didn't even know existed.
Yeah.
100%.
We could do it. With the will.
Yeah, you got it, dude.
That's all you
You're
need.
The guy.
Yeah,
fucking, this guy is a fucking, that's a man, dude.
I like doing stuff.
I like doing stuff. I like taking over lands.
To be honest, that all sounds like a lot of work, though. Right?
No, but you can do it, man.
If I could, I could, but if I could pay somebody to do it for me, that would be a lot better.
Yeah, and again, through Christ, anything is possible. And I think we need to always go back to that.
That's a good point. I don't know if y'all name your episodes, but that's a great name of the episode.
Through Christ, anything is possible. We do. We do name the episodes. Going back to the Alex Jones thing.
Right.
You guys had to pull down the episode. Give your co-host a shout out because I actually hit him up. And I said, hey, dude, we ran into an issue with YouTube.
Right.
We got a bad one. So we did the election show live on YouTube. Yeah, it was like 300,000 live viewers and all that crazy shit.
Right.
The second we went off air that night, that episode... Good luck finding it. You have to type in all caps lock, hyphen, like everything. It does not exist. We couldn't even find it on our back end on YouTube.
Really?
We didn't gain a subscriber for close to 6 months after that. And so when yours got ripped, I had hit up Schultz through Ari and I just said, hey, can you ask them how they got around it and like the monetization and being able to get subscribers back?
Right.
What was the problem? Did they reach out to you and say, hey, you got to pull this?
Apparently the problem was that Alex said multiple times that the vaccine gives you cancer or something like that. And so they pulled it down for medical misinformation, but it was our first strike. So it's like, you're fine. But this episode is gone. And that is, I really believe this. After Alex left the first episode, I said that I think that's maybe the best episode of any podcast there has ever been. It was just nuts.
Nuts, yeah.
Yeah, and I think Andrew and I have a way of, not where they were the only ones, but we have a way of kind of unlocking what's funny about him. We just kind of like laugh as opposed to treating it all as news.
Yeah.
And it was just so fun. I mean, it was just so fun.
We had a fucking show with him. We had to put it over on Patreon because it was just too much. Yeah, and it's still there, by the way, if you want to go Drinking Bros Podcast on Patreon. There's a full-size Michael Myers doll out in the lobby. I don't know if you saw it.
No, I did not.
It's like 6'5", right? So mid-show, and we were getting trash with him. I mean, all day long.
Yeah, he's great for that.
It was best. And it was on a Sunday. We were in the middle of the show. He was ordering Pete Terry's next door. So we were eating burgers and shit. Yeah. Then he dragged in the Michael Myers thing live. And started punching it in the face on the thing.
He
like,
hit something like that with us.
Took off his shirt. And it was one of the greatest things of all time. And it was fucking hilarious and all that other shit. But when you guys disappeared, I was like, oh, fuck. I wonder if the same thing happened to you. Because you get 3 strikes on YouTube.
Yeah.
And so that was one. And did you get a phone call?
So Andrew, he's so big on YouTube. He tends to like, he'll know whoever he can know or whatever, and he'll deal with that. And obviously that's my brother. So like as great as the podcast is for my life, I don't ever want it to adversely affect him. So like if there's any strike, I'd have just been like, do whatever the fuck you got to do to be cool on your account. But I think this is the first time we've ever had to check you on anything. So we're taking the episode down. You're not getting it back. And that's it. I think that was essentially the conversation.
Got it.
He might have asked, and we get it back, and they said maybe, and then they didn't, something like that. But like, I was.
Did you end up posting it somewhere else?
People posted it. We didn't back it up like fucking morons.
Oh, shit. We back up everything.
Yeah, we don't back up anything. And I still don't think we've learned our lesson, quite frankly.
Yeah.
But
wait, they wouldn't even give you like the backing
source.
Nothing. So if we were smarter like you guys, we would just put it up on something else.
Yeah.
Because we lost, some people have it uploaded in like 720 or 1080, but the 4K is gone.
Gone, yeah. Yeah.
And it's so good. If anybody wants to check out one episode of our podcast, go find that episode online.
Oh, dude, it was.
It's on SoundCloud.
Amazing.
The audio anyways.
Yeah.
SoundCloud is straight. But the visual is also so funny.
Dude, so my story with it was I was halfway through it because I like to watch podcasts.
Yeah.
Like if I'm at home and as long as the game's on, I'll just put it on the background and watch it because I think you get better context when you're able to see what's actually going on.
Right.
And so I had that on and I paused it like midway through and I was like, ah, shit, I got to go do X. And then I went back to it 2 days later and it was gone. Yeah. And I was like, fuck, dude. Yeah,
that happened with a lot of people.
And that's
like
when I hit them up.
Episode. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was rough, dude. I mean, that was our best performing episode also. It was like 1 million plus or whatever. And then I thought it was a good episode. Like, even if you didn't like Alex, you should sit down and watch that. Because I had a lot of people hit me up like, yo, I didn't like this guy. I don't necessarily love him, but I don't hate him anymore.
Yeah,
he changed
same.
The way he,
same.
It exposed him to a lot of people that wouldn't have otherwise been. Oh, yeah, this is the second time he was on. He carried me out of the room. held me over his shoulder, came back in with a slice of pizza, and then ate the fucking thing while he's holding me. I mean, he's an entertainer, dude. He's an entertainer.
That's great.
What was the point that you guys really blew up?
I think quarantine helped a lot. I think as Andrew blew up, we blew up. And, yeah, I remember during quarantine, you guys might have had a similar thing, but that first weekend when none of us knew what the fuck was going on in early March, Andrew was really panicked about it. I was in Canada doing shows, and I was like, I wasn't even sure if they were going to let me back in the country because, you know, there was rumors they're going to shut down Manhattan completely. But then Andrew and I talked, and we essentially said, how do you want to do this? And we both were like, look, I'm cool. I think there's an opportunity here where everybody else is going to be doing Zoom podcasts. And if we meet in person, we could really grow. And I think at that point, we're like 100,000, 150,000 listens an episode total. And then basically we were like, if you get it, I get it. If I get it, you get it. If you want to take this risk, let's lean in. So we did that. And I think us doing we never did Zoom episodes. We were in studio the whole time.
Right.
And that, I think, helped a lot. And then on top of that, Andrew started doing those pieces on YouTube.
Yeah.
The kind of rants. And so that also helped a lot of people find him.
Yeah.
And
that's how everybody is everybody other than some of the originals, like Corolla obviously did whatever the fuck he did. And WTF's been on since 2003 or something.
Yeah.
I don't even know. But everybody else that got super large in podcasts, Ben Shapiro is another one of them.
Yeah.
Right. He did the same thing. He just cut down his fucking videos into 5-minute videos and put them on Facebook as paid advertisements. That's how
I grew a show. Yeah. So like, dude, I caught Shapiro when he was at like 1,200 followers. But I just saw so many ads for it. It was like, hey, check out the show through Facebook. Finally, I clicked it on. I was like, all right, cool. And then boom, later he blew up. It's interesting you say that about the quarantine because we made the same conscious decision where we got together. Like, you know, I'm a Hollywood guy and I knew all of it's shut down, right? So they're not making any more products or whatever.
Yep.
Because we got two things in quarantine. Like, we walked away with Last Dance and Tiger King.
Tiger King, yeah.
And that was about it, right?
Well, Tiger King 2 is coming out soon.
Yeah.
Which makes me want to blow my brains out.
I don't think anybody's interested.
No.
It's over.
And they killed the TV show. Okay. The other one is still going on, but they killed the first one with Nick Cage. And so that's done. But we had chatted about it, and we're like, look, because Dan and I had COVID day one. Like, we were the day one homies.
Oh, OGs.
Where you were seeing it on the news, and it was like, hey, man, do you have the same thing? Like, the same symptoms, this thing on the news? And then, boom, I think 4 days later, everything was shut down. We told our employees the same thing. We were like, hey, if you guys want to work. We're going to do in studio every day. And we made the conscious decision to go every day.
Yeah.
Because a lot of our listeners are first responders and military. And it's like, dude, they had to work throughout the whole pandemic.
Yeah.
But they didn't have any entertainment. So we just went 5 days a week.
Yeah.
And then after like a year, everybody got used to 5 days a week and they were like, well, great. You can't do five days a week. So, but we love it. So, I mean, we get to talk to the most fucked up people every single day.
Yeah.
Before you were here was the Sklar brothers and, they're deadly.
Really?
Oh, dude.
I've never gotten to meet them. So.
Oh, you got to have them on.
Got to have them on.
Especially since you're a sport. You and Andrew are both sports fans. You guys will just talk about college football for 3 hours. I'm not even kidding.
Really?
Yeah. Fast as shit. Yeah. And their cadence between back and forth, because they were on a couple years ago as well. Their cadence back and forth is just so dialed in that you're like, oh, yeah. I mean, we did a full hour on like Kill an Actor today. Where it was, you had to kill one actor. It was DiCaprio.
Oh, that's right.
DiCaprio, Denzel Washington. But their movies don't exist anymore.
Tony Stark.
His
real name, I barely even remember. Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
Get rid of that motherfucker, dog.
Holy shit. God damn it, dude.
But come on, yo. I love Iron Man, but you gonna get rid of all of DiCaprio's movies to save Iron Man?
Man, because that airs after this one, but I'm not gonna give a spoiler alert on that one. All you motherfuckers said RDJ. I had a different take. I can't say what it is, but
I'll say what mine is since I'm not on that show.
Yes,
Robert Downey Jr. is the only one that's shown he can play multiple races.
You know what
I mean?
Yes,
and that's
That is actually an underrated. That's a fucking good movie, Tropic Thunder.
Yeah. Yes.
All right, that puts him back in the game a little bit, but he's still got to go.
He's not. He
can't get rid of Leo, dude.
He doesn't have the cattle.
I'm not saying Leo. Like I did not
who's
say Leo.
Other, oh, who's
so was Tom Hanks?
Oh,
Leo.
If you say Tom Hanks, you can get the fuck out of your own studio,
go through Hanks's catalog.
He's done a movie in four different decades that could have won an Oscar. And he may make it.
He has won
in the 2020s.
Yeah, I was going to say. I think he has done a movie that is won Oscars in four different decades.
I don't know about the 80s. What was his first one? Was Philadelphia? That was 91.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, that was right on the cusp. But Big yeah. should have won the Oscar. Yeah. Goddamn.
Just for, I don't know how they did the trick camera work to turn him into an adult.
Oh yeah.
Fucking assholes over here.
Yeah, so we had we almost went an hour and a half just on that alone.
Really?
And those guys are great. So I highly recommend getting those guys on. They're fantastic.
For sure. Noted.
Where are you at now? Where are you living these days?
I'm in New York. We went to Miami for 4 months during quarantine, and then we moved back, and I'm really trying to for a long time, industry-wise, you know how it is. Like, the industry has their darlings. Yeah. And I think even as diversity got hotter, I don't say things that are popular for liberal white people from minorities. I think they want to feel guilty. It's like a real self-flagellation thing they got going on. Where I'm like, look, I love race jokes, but I also don't want you sitting here fucking talking. I don't know. I don't like this thing. So I want to be subversive and whatever. And I never got any looks in that sense. I didn't get passed at the clubs for a long time. I didn't get weekends on the road for a long time. I didn't get an agent until like a year and a half ago.
Because you're not like telling subversively anti-white jokes.
Yeah, like this thing where you just try to induce liberal white people to feel guilty.
Yeah.
I hate that. It's so pandering. It's so fucking annoying. And I think most of the minorities do it because they just want to fuck white women. White women are evil to me. Who cares? I don't want to fuck you. So I'm just going to make my jokes. And again, I want it to be something that's not popular. You get laughs, whatever. But now, finally, I'm starting to be able to do the weekends on the road. And I'm here at this comedy festival. Mm-hmm. I just headlined last night. And I'm trying to put together a special similar to Andrew did a special called 441. Yep. And it was like 25 minutes. I want to put out something similar in the sense that it's going to be about 25 minutes. But the idea is, I think I'm going to call it something like I Miss a Poo, which is like all this shit that we're seeing. If you're black, I'm not going to tell you. You can't complain. You've been through some awful shit in this country. I get it. Indians, no.
Yeah.
We've had an easy time here. And I just want us to all get together and laugh at this thing. And like, I'm trying to put together that special right now on the road. So that's what Austin is. That's why I'm in New York. I'm trying to film a bunch of hours. I'm doing the Canada. And I just want to make like that piece and then see where that takes me.
That's awesome. Cool. That's awesome. Yeah. Because I mean, you wonder like, most people's overall goal, and we've met a lot of podcast hosts who are like, man, I just want that sitcom. Yeah. I want that one 3-camera sitcom. Yeah. And it's like, that shit is dying. And like the chances of you doing like an Atlanta or something cool like that, where everybody's like, hey, do whatever you want. Here's some money, are super fucking rare. Yep. But whereas on podcasts, you can literally go on and say whatever the fuck you want all day long. And 100%. I don't know how it gets better than that.
Yeah. 100%
right now. Yeah. Because otherwise I think you'd be miserable in like a 3-camera sitcom where it's just, like,
I don't think I'd mind how easy it is. And the only I wanted to do acting just to be a stand-up. Stand-up is that's my fucking love. I love it.
Yeah.
That's my wife. Like, I'm married to this.
Yeah.
Everything else was just a funnel into that, and I enjoy it. And I would love to be, like you said, on a good TV show. A friend of mine, Rami, I love his show. Season one was like a fantastic show, season of TV to me. I would love to be on a show like that.
Yeah.
It's multi-camp sitcom. If I'm in and out and it's an easy work week, it's 4 days or whatever the fuck, that sounds great, but I'm not going to enjoy the work.
Right. Right.
The podcast, you enjoy what you're doing. You're talking about things you're interested in.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And it's like Omar in season four of The Wire when he was robbing dum-dums, and he was like, this isn't even cool anymore.
Yeah. Great reference.
Yeah. R.I.P. Omar. Yeah.
Shouts.
Yeah. Real quick here before we get to the Drinking Bro of the Week, Donda or CLB?
I'm not a Drake fan. I'm a Drake hater, and I don't even have a valid reason anymore.
Yeah.
I just hate him.
Yeah.
So
did you like Donda at least?
Because Drake is the Beatles of fucking hip-hop.
But like your hand.
He's a three chord. Fucking here's my generic cookie cutter bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, cool, Nickelback. Thanks.
Yeah, he is Nickelback.
Yeah, fuck out of here, man.
There's a
did you just call him the black?
There.
Yeah, I was gonna say the black
joke
Nickelback.
On Nickelback that I will not do, but it's there.
I'll do it.
Anybody
do it? If you're gonna do it, though,
I don't
do
say
it.
The N word like as a principal.
Mm. Oh,
not in public.
Shit. Oh, all right. Now I'm piecing it together in my mind.
I heard him in the bathroom before the show, though. It was just like, just screaming it. I'm like,
37 times in a row.
There are no black people here. Like,
yeah.
What the fuck,
and I knocked on the door and you're like, I just need to get out of my fucking system. Right? Yeah. I got to say the N-word 37 times in a row, so I'm going to fucking say it live on air.
Respect the ritual, you know?
Yeah, if you do it once and then you fucking just crush, you can't ever.
Can't do it. No.
You got to do it every night.
You do. This is the point in the show we get to the Drinking Bro of the Week, which is someone who's inspired you or helped you become the person you are today. Who do you want to give the Drinking Bro of the Week to?
I'm going to go Andrew. He just filmed a special. Mm-hmm. And then that guy's obviously done so much for me, and we've been friends for like 13, 14 years. That's my brother. And he just filmed a special, and I'm so proud of him because, like, I watch this guy, and he's obsessive, and it's mostly a good thing. Sometimes when you're arguing with him, you're like, Jesus Christ, get off the fucking whatever.
Yeah.
But he has this Kobe-like mentality of, like, every single ounce I'm going to focus on relentlessly and maximize everything I can about my career. And that's, like, an inspiring thing to watch. Mm-hmm. And whatever knowledge he's given me and, like, him being the first comic to really put all of his clips online, that was inspiring. So, like, that's the guy I go with. That's my brother. For right now, especially given the moment, that's the guy that pops to mind.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, besides Flagrant 2, tell everybody else where they can find you.
Check out my stand-up, Akash Singh Comedy. It's spelled A-K-A-A-S-H, Akash. I'm putting out a bunch of stuff. I'm trying to put out this special. I'm very excited about that. My goal in the next calendar year is 3 specials. I don't know if I'll do that, but that's my goal in the next calendar
That's
year,
ambitious. So.
That's a lot of work.
That's a lot of work.
Well, one of them's only 25 minutes, though.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. Are you going hours for the other two?
Like it's
I don't
easy.
Know. And that was another thing, Andrew, was like, why does a special have to be an hour? And then I was like, oh.
Because of HBO.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
started the comedy special with George Carlin back in the day. In the 1970s at Stanford University. I think it was 79 was the first one.
If HBO calls me, they will get an hour.
Yeah, for sure.
But if I'm putting my own thing out, and that was another, I remembered hearing people, even like certain Netflix shows, I was talking to the showrunner, one of them, and he's like, I was like, how long is an episode? He goes, as long as it needs to be.
I saw one that was like 51 minutes.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's weird, but it didn't stop me from fucking watching it.
Yeah. Is it a John Oliver thing? I don't think that's always 30.
It bounces around,
He'll go, like, standard. Like, sometimes some of them are, like, 22 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is like a
22 is made
network.
For TV.
Yeah.
It's a 30-minute.
Commercial,
Yeah, but he's on, you know, he's permanently HBO, on HBO. You know, so it's like, he could do whatever he wants.
As long as it needs to be good, that's what it is. I don't want to put fluff in there just to stretch it out or whatever. I want tight bits and, like, let's make this a thing. So please check out my stand-up, Flagrant 2 Podcast, obviously. Instagram, Akash Singh. TikTok, Akash Singh Comedy. I'm trying to do that shit, finally.
And start correcting people when they say his name wrong. Because that's what we do in America. We learn something and then immediately start judging people for the shit we just learned.
Akash, we appreciate you.
Thanks, Doug. Thanks, man. Appreciate that. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, this was a fucking blast, dude.
Thank you guys,
for D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is Drinking Bros Podcast. Good night, everyone.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.